Western and Southern Financial Group. Put our financial strength behind you. It's easy to get started. Visit WesternSouthern.com.
Now batting, number one in our hearts. At least he'd like to think so. It's the Jim Day Podcast.
Oh, what a glorious time to be alive, because we have returning to the pod today one of the greatest guests of all time. I get a chuckle from him. He's been on Dateline NBC. He's been in the movie The Blind Side. He's been on stage with Brad Paisley. He's the red shortstop. All pales in comparison to being a member of the traveling jump rope team. Kyle Farmer. How are we doing?
I'm great. That's, you're a hype man. Dang. Incredible. I'm good.
All true, though. I didn't lie about any of that.
There's not one line that. No, you were 100% true.
Even the everything pales in comparison to the traveling jump rope team?
Yeah, people think that I'm embarrassed by that, but I'm actually proud of that. That is a hard thing to do, is feeling travel jump rope team. Not everybody can say they've done that.
Well, I still want to get a jump rope and see if you still got the skills. Could you jump right in and do it?
Oh, I do it in the weight room all the time.
Really?
Yeah, but they don't have the double dutch ropes that I'm used. Like I have to practice that. The double dutch, that's kind of hard, but
yeah,
just a normal jump rope, I can do some pretty cool tricks.
Yeah. No, I want the double dutch rope.
But yeah. Well, give me a week in advance. Double dutch.
Double dutch.
Yeah,
that's what I want. Whether you like jump in, there's two people doing the rope, and you jump in, and you're even like, they might be singing, might be some music on.
I used to do a pogo stick in it.
Come on.
I promise you, I used to do a pogo stick, and I used to do push-ups in the double dutch. Like, I'd go down to my, like, in a push-up position and jump rope with my hands and feet in the air. But I don't, that's back when I was like 90 pounds. So I don't know if a 195 guy can do that right now.
Yeah, well, you lost this weight, though. You know, you're back to pogo stick weight.
that's good plan weight, good pogo stick weight.
All right. Obviously, we're going to talk baseball on this podcast, but sometimes that bores me.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about, baseball, how's it going, scrutiny, all types of stuff like that. But I got important things to talk about with you.
Let's do it.
Most of it non-baseball.
Even better.
We'll start with probably, if I don't start with this question, then I'm going to get a direct message again from Granny. How's Granny?
Granny's great. She's healthy. She recovered fully from hip surgery, hip therapy, and she's tough. I think she's like 82, 83 maybe. And she is acting like she's still in her 50s. You know, she's tough. She, in fact, she texted me, last night, boy, you had a night. Fun to watch your interview with Jim Day. Let's do it again tonight.
Yes. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah, she absolutely loves you. But Granny's doing well. She's the biggest baseball fan that I've ever known. She still watches some minor league games that I know guys are playing in, and she follows up with everybody. And she's coming to Atlanta, the Atlanta series. So we'll see her there.
Wish I could be there.
She wishes you were there more than probably I was there.
Do you know that Granny direct messages me on social media?
Granny talks with DMs Jesse Winker, the Wink Show.
Come on, she does. And,
oh, yeah. Winker replies right back to her. And I'm like, what is going on? My Granny is sliding into the Reds DMs.
Would you like to know some of these? Should I reveal some of these that she wrote to me?
Yeah, go for it.
Okay. Okay, you and the broadcasters can talk all you want about the rider shirts, etc., but we are talking about grown men with no helmets. 6 question marks.
Yeah, She texts me and goes, "Don't forget to wear your helmet." I'm like, "Okay, Granny."
You could tell Mr. Ryder Farmer never too old for Granny not to get on his butt.
It's true. No, I forgot we were in, I was in Little Rock, Arkansas in AA, and I had a bad game. I went over 4 with a couple of strikeouts, and she didn't realize that I was in the group text between my mom, my dad, and her.
Oh,
she just
no.
thought it was those three. And so I was in the, she didn't realize I was in it. She says, "What's Kyle's deal tonight? He needs to open his eyes. He's swinging at stuff in the dirt." And I got back to the locker room. And of course, you know, that's the last thing you want to see is your grandmother kind of dogging you. And, but I would, you know, so I texted back. I was like, I don't need this right now. And sure enough, she called me right then. It's like, "Lee, you listen here, you little head. I'm your biggest fan. And, I'm worried about you. You know, I'm just worried about you." So, I mean, she's not afraid to get into it, but she's very positive and pulls hard for the boys.
Oh, there's no doubt about it. Just one more. "Since the players aren't going to entertain us, I guess we can talk. Ha."
Were we not scoring any runs or something? Yeah. She's really trying to get, oh gosh, good for her.
And then she followed up that same one with, "Winker must have done something good. That's my wink."
she DMs Winker and I'm like, "What are you doing? What are you doing, Wings? I'm talking to your grandmother right now." I'm like, "What?"
She's a classic Southern lady. I love it.
She is. Oh yeah. She's a pistol.
Well, she was also mad that I messed up your pending son's name. Apparently, I misspoke. And she lit
McCoy.
Me up. I won't read that one, but she lit me up.
Yeah. When you don't think anybody's listening, she's listening.
Oh, yeah. No, I think I might have. What's your pending son's name? Pending son.
McCoy.
What a way to put that.
Pending, like a tech, like a,
yeah, like a transaction,
like a pack, like a package or something. McCoy. I think you called him like MacGyver or something.
No, it was the middle name I messed up.
James.
I said John instead of James.
Yeah.
So what's the full name going to be?
McCoy James Farmer.
Gotcha.
Strong.
That strong. Is strong. I think I said John.
Yeah, you might. So at my wedding, the priest that was doing it, he started off the ceremony like, "You know, I baptized Kyle, blah blah blah." So like, he's known me forever. And he announced me and Courtney as William Kyle Farmer. And all the people in the in the crowd and Granny just on it, James. But what's embarrassing is because he said he baptized me and he's known me forever, but then he got my name wrong in front of the whole ceremony. And of course, Granny wore him out about that. So I think that's where you reap the benefits of that.
That's sort of like when I met Granny. I think it was in Atlanta. All of a sudden, I hear this lady screaming from the stands. I'm like, "Why is she screaming at me?" "I'm Kyle Farmer's grandma." Oh.
Yeah. Oh, no.
Yeah. And ever since, it's been a friendship from heaven. Yeah, so when is the
welcome.
Due date?
It's early September, but he's... Courtney right now she's about 34 weeks today, actually. And he's almost 6 pounds, so he's getting big, and especially early September, but I think he might show up a week early. So who knows?
Wow. Big one.
He's going to be a thick boy, but we're excited. Courtney's excited. And you know, she's doing really well with the pregnancy, and we're very excited to welcome this boy into the world.
I bet. Have you thought about what fatherhood's going to be? Probably
have,
a million times.
Million and one times. I'm excited. I know that your whole, I mean, like your whole life changes, you know, no more trips to the Bahamas as much as I used to.
Yeah.
No more going on my Wednesday night Houston's trips with my friends to Houston's restaurant in the off season. So it's gonna be a change, but I'm excited. It's gonna be good for us. And I love kids. So I'm really excited. But I can tell you something I didn't know that Amir did. Amir, I think, might love kids more than me. But in the first inning, Amir goes into the kids' room in the home and hangs out with the kids for like 5 minutes and then goes out to the bullpen. I didn't know that until the other day.
Really?
Yeah. So I thought that was really cool.
You mean the family room off of the clubhouse where kids are hanging out?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Wow. Why do you think he does that? Just to...
I think he just loves kids.
Just loves kids?
I think so, yeah. Yeah.
Well, he's a father now, too.
He's going to be a great dad, too. Yeah, he's going to be a great dad. He's going to be a great dad. I'm happy for him. Very cute baby.
Yeah, no doubt. We put that picture on the air, which I'm sure if you guys share pictures, we'll be putting your son on the air when it happens. All right, you this past week went to the Luke Bryan concert. Who... Yeah, I know Tucker went. Yeah. Who else from the team was there?
It was me. All the wives went. So it was me, Tucker, Wade, Sonny, Jeff Hoffman, Mike Moustakas, Tyler Stevenson, and Mike Freeman.
Goodness, it was a good group. That's more than I thought.
Yeah, it was a good group. It was a lot of fun. Me and Tucker, we were the closest ones. We were all kind of spread out because the tickets weren't together. But it was a lot of fun. I had quite a few Bud Lights. That was fun.
Off night, you're allowed.
What's that?
Off night, you're allowed to have Bud Lights.
Yeah, you got to let loose a little bit.
Heck yeah.
But I sang every one of the songs, and me and Tucker were just jamming together, and Sierra and Courtney were looking at us like we were crazy. So... per usual, but it was good.
Yeah, I saw the video on social media. You guys had really good seats, like seats that pro baseball players would have.
Yeah, they were great seats. I was trying to get Luke's attention as much as I could, but he didn't. I guess he didn't really know I was there, I think.
Now, if you're trying to get his attention, do you do it in the Luke Bryan voice, or do you do it as Kyle?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah. Hey, Luke, look up here. Luke! People were looking around at me like, what's this guy's deal? Yeah. But like everybody who's new to the team, like Naquin, he loves it. So I get to redo it all over again. And guys in the locker room are like, golly, Tucker's like, here we go again. And Naquin's like, do it again, do it again.
New meat. Always new love meat, fresh new meat, meat man. You can bring out that old material.
I do. Yeah. It's the only thing I got going for me. So I gotta keep the boys loose.
People that listen to this podcast are probably like, oh, God, Jim's talking to Kyle Farmer about Luke Bryan again.
Yeah, he's not figured it out. Yeah, but no, Naquin loves it. I think Lopey heard it the other day, and he was like, wow, you sound just like him. I was like, yeah, I can keep going if you want. Tucker and Jess, you're like, no, don't do it.
Oh. I love it. It'll never get old to me, by the way, as you know, because I'm always teeing you up.
Yeah, no. I love doing it, but I think it's funny that, you know, the new meat come in and we keep going with them.
Well, we're recording this on Saturday, and on Friday night, you were the hero of the game, one of them. I interviewed you after the game, and it took all of my power not to end the interview by saying, thank you very much, Luke.
You should have. Thanks, Jim. Thank you, Riverbend.
What did he? Did he say that? Did he say he loves Cincinnati and all that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He's like, Cincinnati, I love you. Riverbend, this is the coolest spot ever. And he was wearing like this cheesy shirt. He was like, I look like Thomas Rhett in this shirt. And I was like, what does that mean? I mean, he was wearing tight jeans and he was shaking, you know, he was shaking up there dancing. So whatever meme you see on like your search feed on the text, like when you know send like a GIF or a meme of Luke Bryan dancing, it's like that constant. It's really funny.
He doesn't have the greatest moves. I'm gonna have to be honest.
It's just,
he's like me up there trying to dance.
He's like a poor man's, he's like a poor man's Forrest Gump, you know, like when he was, Forrest Gump was teaching Elvis Presley how to dance in the movie. Yeah. Hey, do that again, buddy. And you know, do that thing with your legs again. These are my magic shoes.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Mama said they'd take me anywhere.
The Riders. We need an update. Is
yeah.
Haven't heard as much lately. Is the membership waning, or are we still going strong?
It's slowing down a little bit. We've had some cities with no scooters.
Oh.
I forgot where we were that didn't have scooters, and it kind of broke up the squad a little bit.
Oh man, that's terrible.
But like when families in town, guys' families in town, or wives are in town, the scooter gang kind of breaks up. So like when we go on a long West Coast trip, that's when the gang gets back and we kind of, I guess, ride together. And but Jesse was the leader of that, and Jesse he started kicking it back up last night again. He was big into any word that in an ER, like he called. Like DJ, like what he charts all the pitches. So Winker calls him Charter. He goes, hey, Charter. And then DJ goes, hey, Ryder. And it's funny. And then calls DB Coacher. Hey, Coacher. And just, it's just funny. And
everything in ER.
Everything in ER. Yeah. He could call you, hey, broadcaster.
Oh, there's a lot of other ER names you could call me.
Yeah.
Leave that for another day, maybe.
But,
because I can edit this. Jesse, if you make fun of me, I can edit it out.
I'm not going to make fun of you.
Oh, I'm easy. But, I'm easy target.
You are an easy target.
Thank you. Very self-aware.
Yeah. Easy to pick on. That's tough. But now Jesse's doing well. He's got the riders going, and then but the membership's always open. Whoever wants to join in, it's fun.
You said that you guys were getting gear. Now, what did this fall by the wayside? This gear?
I guess Amazon just didn't deliver it. I don't know. Our Tucker just couldn't find it. We were supposed to get gear. John Boyce, because Jesse went on there for an interview. / podcast thing. So he sent us some rider shirts, and I got some bat decals made. Those were cool. But yeah, the merchandise has kind of gone down a little bit. No vest or anything. So
I was looking forward to the vest. If you got like some leather vest and the video of that.
So sweet. Hit BP in those things and then get hop on the scooter.
You would take BP?
I would have. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Just one time, see what it was like.
Oh, absolutely. I know you're tight with Sonny Gray. Mm-hmm. What do you think of, and I don't know if you witnessed it, but it's the second time that he's in mid-start gone and stripped naked and changed his clothes. And first time he did it, I forget who it was in the clubhouse. It was like, looked over and like, someone, I don't know, someone's showering or something. Wait, that's the starting pitcher. And it's mid-game. Yeah. What's he standing there naked for?
We were in Miami 2 years ago in 19, and I think that was the first time I've seen him do it.
Yeah.
Someone walked in and he was butt naked in a locker room in like the fourth inning. We're like, hey, you all right? He's like, you gotta start over. And then came back out and he shoved. And then I think he did it in Kansas City, and someone saw him and was like, what's going on? No, Sonny is the quirkiest guy I know. And, but he gets the job done. Whatever he's got to do, he's got to do, and he gets it done. He knows himself more than anybody else knows themselves. If that makes sense. Like, yeah. And he's just the most comfortable in his own skin. And he just does what he needs to do and he does it. But it's just so funny how he has to, like people go in, like they might change cleats. They might change arm sleeves. They might just redo their wrist tape or something just to kind of switch up the mojo. But no, he changes everything. But like before his starts, I think I saw him one time, he laid out his whole uniform like a human body on the floor. I think Deion Sanders did it, I think, one time. I think, and there's a picture, like a a murder scene. You know, the whole, like a Dexter scene, the whole jersey, the pants, the hat, the cleats, the socks, they're all lined up perfectly like a human body on the floor. And he left it there until he put his clothes on. I was like, oh my gosh.
You'll talk to him, like we'll interview him, and he goes on these little like tangents, or just he'll go off and start talking about something else. Yeah,
if you can see Kyle right now,
he's doing hand motions.
Then he sits Indian style in the chair.
Yeah, he's got his hands going.
But he's thinking something over on the right side of his head, but then he's looking over at something on the left side. And he can't quite figure out like how to combine the two. And then he like starts talking with his hands like this. I love watching his interviews because I know what's going on in his head. He's trying to describe it to a non-baseball player. In a non-baseball term, but baseball players know what he's talking about. So it's really funny. And then if you watch how his son interacts with people, it's the exact same way as Sonny.
Really?
Gunner. Oh man, that his both of his sons are awesome. But right now Gunner's learning how to rollerblade. He wants to play hockey. And we went over to his house the other day and he was rolling around the house in rollerblades, learning. And sure enough, he got good at it. And Sonny's one of the most athletic people I've known.
Yeah.
And his son is going to be even more athletic. So he's one of a kind. And he's raising his boys like him, and they're going to be studs too.
When he does that answer, and you're exactly right, he'll be looking left and something's going on the right, and he's using his hands. Yeah. And then he'll like get off on such a tangent, he'll come back and say, what was the question again?
Yeah.
Like a minute answer.
Kirk Casale would always used to yell like squirrel and like
he would, you know, like react to like, it.
No, that's like that's what like he, that's how he acts. Like
if, oh, I got
if
you.
He's in the middle of something else will pop up like squirrel and be like, oh okay. Like oh, it's so funny.
That's hilarious.
It's just everywhere.
Well, when he this last time when he stripped down and started over, he called himself an angry little elf. I'm still trying to figure out what that means.
No one knows. That's just Sonny. I don't know. That's just him being him. I've never heard him say that, which is not ironic. I mean, he says some stuff I've never heard either. So those Vandy boys, man, I'll tell you. They get the job done, though.
Yeah, I know you were sick of, man. You had, well, now that Casale's gone, it's not as much ganging up on you, I'm sure. But you, as a Georgia guy, you probably get sick of the Vandy boys and their talk.
I did, but then I became jealous. yeah, well, so I don't not many people know this that, but DJ recruited me at Vanderbilt to go to Vandy.
Really?
And yeah, he was the pitching coach and recruiting coordinator, I believe. And he was recruiting me. And I took the ACT. And he called me and was like, hey, you know, we really want you to come to Vandy, but we're going to need you to take the ACT again. And I said, yeah, not going to happen. He's like, well, you can't get it. Like, we'll have a really tough time getting you into school if you got to score a little higher. I said, listen, man, I tried my hardest on that. That's just as much as it's going to get. And he was like, all right, well, let me know if you take it again. I'm like, okay. Never did.
So you went to the higher learning institution of Georgia.
Yes. I learned how to funnel a beer, learned how to shotgun a beer. Knew what every fraternity and sorority Greek letters meant. That was a tough one for me for a little bit. And then, yeah, I mean, had a good time. Had a great time.
I bet. What about your guy up the middle there, India, is a Gator? How's that
yeah.
go?
I'm just glad I didn't play against him when we were there. I'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but Florida. yeah, I mean, blue jean shorts, whatever you got. I mean, I used to love going down to the Georgia Florida football game, and you can just tell the difference in, like, I don't know how to say this, but like Georgia fans and Florida fans, I mean, they're very similar in ways of like how much they love their college and stuff. But man, those Gator fans, they're tough. They're mean. Like, they're just like, ugh. And like, I did not like going down. I mean, Florida baseball beat our butts every year, so I can't deny that. Like, they whooped us. That's when they had Mike Zanino, Nolan Fontana, Austin Maddox. Their team was loaded. But I hated going down there because their stands didn't have like an overhang over the stands, and they had metal bleachers. So like on a Saturday day game, man, it was awful. Then you hear like, dun-na, all that Gator bait. I'm like, oh God, this is terrible. But John is, I don't consider him a Florida Gator. He doesn't have like many Gators that I know, but good player. And yeah, nothing else about the Gators.
You're no. Squirming uncomfortably. People could see you right now. I know how to get on your like skin it. Now. Vandy, like Florida Gators.
Yeah. Now, just if you want to get under my skin, just say anchor down. Like, that's what all the Vandy guys say. Just say it, Vandy boys. But it's turned into a jealous moment for me, because I wish I kind of I'm glad I went to Georgia, but maybe I should have taken the ACT again.
Yeah. That test, I don't know. Some of those tests, like people that did really well on those tests, I'm like, that doesn't make you smarter than me. Maybe book smarter.
No, it doesn't. No. They can't walk down the street and chew gum at the same time, but they can take the ACT.
I went to school with some people who will go nameless that literally, like, were – they would ace every test you give them. They're so book smart. But every day, like, they'd ask you the just simple questions. Like, you really don't know that? Just every day, not so smart.
I'll take street smart over book smart.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, I asked you similar questions on TV. We're going to ask a couple just for this audience. Who's the best dresser on the team? Or give me a few.
You know, the style has changed over the past 3 years.
It's crazy. Has. It's gone more cash.
Way more cash. Way more TikTok-y cash.
TikTok-y cash. Now, what is that?
TikTok. You know, like, I don't have a TikTok, but I can see, like, I think TikTok turned into a casual attire because of all this COVID stuff. So now companies are making, like, nice-looking casual wear.
Yeah.
If that makes sense. Which is cool. But like Tucker's got, he's at top notch, like professional look, great. You know, he wears clothes with the best, I guess you could say. But John's got some swag.
India.
John's got some he's got some good swag, some Miami swag.
Plus he's got that man bun going on when he pulls the hair up. So he looks a little sophisticated.
That adds like plus two or three for sure to him, to his style. So
yeah,
he's got some swag. He's got a good shoe game. Gino always looks good. Winker's got like an interesting look, but it works for him. Very colorful.
Ah, he used to be amongst the worst. What happened? Did someone have an intervention?
I think the time changed to him. No, I think that
it came around to him. Nice.
It came around to him. So like now he's like swagged out, but like, 3 years ago, I'd be like, why are you wearing that? But now it's like, it's in. Joey, of course, always looks good. He's got Gucci all over, which is cool.
He can adapt with the times, too. He can.
Joe, for sure. Yeah. He's like that chameleon. You know, he can adapt with anybody, which is really cool.
For what I do, Kyle Farmer is the gift that just keeps on giving. And I hope you're enjoying this behind-the-scenes conversation with Kyle. And we'll get back to it after this message from Western and Southern Financial Group.
Life is full of questions. Like, when should I start thinking about life insurance? But however difficult these questions may be, Western and Southern can help you answer them. Backed by over 130 years of experience, Together, we can look ahead to leave the unknown behind. Western and Southern Financial Group, life insurance, retirement, and investments.
Products issued by member companies of Western and Southern Financial Group, Cincinnati, Ohio.
It's really cool to see Joey, how he has interacted with, like, all the young guys on the team and stuff.
It's like a different person.
It's really cool to see. It's awesome. He's really bought into it, and I think that's why our team is good right now, I think, because of Joey and how he's really come around to the changes in the game, and he's always trying to learn and stuff. It's really cool.
He's like a completely different person. Like someone just said one day, all right, Joe, it's time to be social. And it's awesome.
Yeah, it's cool. He, like in 19, when I got here, I didn't really know how to approach him. So I didn't really get to know him that well. Then last year, we kind of got to know each other. Then this year, it's gotten a lot better. And you can just see how he's just completely changed his outlook on, I guess, having he always says, I want to have fun again. I want to have fun again.
Yeah.
And he's starting to have fun, which is cool.
Yeah, I know. I love to see it. I think there's he kind of answered some questions where you could kind of read between the lines where he kind of regretted not stopping and smelling the roses earlier on in his career. He was so intense and so locked in. Not that he's not locked in now, but it's in a different way. But he was just so intense. I didn't know how to approach him either. It took me years to crack that egg.
Mm. Yeah, it's tough. But you got to kid around with him too.
He has a great sense of humor.
Hitting BP. Yeah, we were hitting BP, and I was like, golly, I've never seen a 42-year-old hit the ball that far. And then he was wearing like these nice, really nice Gucci like slides or Louis Vuitton slides, and I was like, "They hand those out at the nursing home? And those are nice." He gave me like one of those really like genuine laughs. He's like, "It's pretty good."
That is great. Now I don't know if you want to indict teammates. On the flip side, who are some of the not so good dressers on the team?
Mm.
And where do you fit in?
Right there, probably. Not so good dresser. I don't really. My wife has helped me out a lot with my style, and it's come a long way. If you had seen me in college, it was just it was like light jeans, cowboy boots, and a Hanes t-shirt walking around. But yeah, I don't dress very well. I don't really care enough to, I mean, Courtney likes me the way I am, so I'm just going to stick with that.
Oh, I ain't love grand.
Yeah, it is beautiful. And, but no, I'm not a very good dresser. Golly.
I can see that.
I'm not going to throw anybody else on the bus. I'm just going to.
Who you can say and who.
Yeah, I'm not allowed to say. Yeah, I'm not going to say anything on that because I'm just going to bury myself.
I tried. That's why I put it on you. Is there a teammate that spends the most time in front of the mirror?
It used to be
Robert Stevenson.
Robert Stevenson. Oh my gosh. Never seen a dude in the front of a mirror that long. I'm like, dude, your hair is just getting longer the more you look at yourself. Like it's almost game time. You got in there after BP. And then I don't see anybody in front of the mirror anymore, which is interesting. I mean, guys are just, it's like that casual, look now, you know,
yeah.
Everybody's wearing hats and I think people are starting to find the important things in life.
Yeah. You slap a hat on and it's all good instead of sitting there gelling up for.
Yeah. That's what I do. That's why I'm losing my hair.
What do you got there? What is that?
It's like a foam roller thing, little soft tissue.
Oh, I got you. Who's the goofiest teammate? Who's in that category?
Tyler Naquin, for sure.
Really?
Tyler Naquin.
Had him on the pod recently.
He's incredible. He keeps our locker room loose, and you just never know what's going to come out of his mouth. Like,
really?
He will make the most ironic noises. Like, he does this really good T-Rex impression. And like he can like I can't do it, but he like makes this noise that sounds like a T-Rex. And like we'll be in Chicago going to dinner or something, and he'll be on the other side of the sidewalk, and all of a sudden you see him walking like a T-Rex with those short little arms, and he like makes these Jurassic Park noises, and we just die and laugh.
Well, last night I saw him strutting down the dugout, and he was walking like, I don't know, how can I put this?
Is he swinging his hips?
Yes. What is that?
We really wanted him to walk up to bat like that, like put the bat over his shoulders and just swing his hips like this.
So he's goofy. Yeah. I didn't get the goofiness out of him on our podcast. We talked about a lot of serious stuff. I'm going to have him back for the team up for some goofy stuff.
You got to get him to do the T-Rex.
Okay.
Like maybe today at the field, ask him to do the T-Rex just to get you a little taste of it.
Will he wonder where I got that from? He'll be like, who told you about the T-Rex?
Just tell him that you saw him walking down the street and you were doing it. So like, I saw you walking down the street the other day and you were like, I heard like this Jurassic Park T-Rex noise. And like you had your arms like a T-Rex claw. And I just didn't know what was going on.
All right. I'm definitely going to do that. Who never shuts up?
Ooh.
Besides you. And Miley.
Yeah, I don't know how Wade sees deer when he goes hunting. Like, no, I love that dude. Winker doesn't stop, which is good sometimes. Like, bad bench guy. He should not ever be a bench player. Nope, just keep him playing every day. We always tell him that when he has like a day off or something and he's on the bench, we're like, David, put him in the game. Just put him in the game.
He's wearing us out.
He's crushing us.
Well, what about Wade in the dugout? Even when he's starting, when he's pitching.
No, it's worse when he's pitching. Like, starting pitchers are very quirky and like very like you don't know whether they're going to talk to you. Like, I remember playing with Kershaw, and you weren't supposed to say a word to Kershaw. Like, on his start day, you don't say a word, and his locker was right next to mine. So like he would show up and I'd be like, oh gosh, like I'm very talkative, very friendly guy. And he'd come in, I'd say, and he'd look at me and goes, hey. And I was like, hey, what's up? Like, hey, I'm going to go to the cafeteria now. But like pitchers are very weird in that, but like Wade, he talks more on his start days than he does normally. And then Wade will come out eating a Hershey bar straight to the bullpen, which is incredible. And then he'll go out and throw 7 shutout innings. But what people don't know about Wade is that on his no hit night, you might've talked about this, but it was raining that night. And Wade kept saying, all right, call it, bang it. Let's bang this game, play doubleheader tomorrow.
Yeah.
Tarps on. We were on there kidding around. We were like, Wade, if you don't stop saying that, we're just not going to go out there when we play. And sure enough, and hey, doing no hitter, it was incredible.
He does it all the time, though, he says, right? When it's raining up, got to bang it. We're done.
Bang it, yeah. And you never really tell a position player to bang it because we either get excited, we get like, oh, they're banging it, you know, and then gets our hopes up.
Hey, I forgot something with Sonny. I got to go circle back to this. When he got pine tar on his pants and then he's rubbing it into his butt into the mound like a dog. Did you see it at the time?
Yeah. Golly, what's going on with Sonny? Once again, one of his quirky things. He doesn't care.
But he changes Sonny mid-game to start over, but he refused to change his pants at that instance. He would rather go out there and rub his butt on the mound.
Yeah. I know. It doesn't make any sense. That's just Sonny, though. That's Sonny. Sonny Mac.
If you needed advice on a romantic date for you and Courtney, which teammate are you asking? I don't know. Your reaction is like, I can't believe you just asked me that. Or
Tucker's very romantic.
Yeah.
Very romantic. Like me and Courtney went to Boca the other night. And I would text him about what to get there. So I guess he's my go-to text when I want a romantic date or not sure what kind of food to get at a restaurant. But
Yeah, he's got it going on. And he can cook the meal too at home. If
he can cook too. He has yet to cook for us, but he said he will. But there's not too many softies on our team, like locker room softies. They might be at home, but like Gino's pretty romantic, I would say. That's it. No, I can't really speak on that.
This one might be a tough question. This is about you. What's something people might not know about you? What's a personal fact that no one would guess? Or that would surprise people? Or are you just an open book? Nothing would surprise.
Oh gosh. I what you see is what you get with me. I don't think I have anything in the dark right now. Anymore. No, I think I've spilled my guts to you.
which is fantastic, which is why you're back on this podcast.
Yeah, I like to hunt, I like to fish, and I love every day. No, I there's nothing really. No, you got it all. I can think of some stuff. Oh, I went to fourth grade twice.
You went to fourth grade twice. What happened?
I think my dad told me that my age was, I think he used the age card on me because I have an August birthday. And so I went to kindergarten I was the youngest one in my grade. And I always played up in sports in that grade level. And they wanted to keep me, I guess they wanted me to get back to my age group. So I then became the oldest in the grade instead of the youngest. So they chose fourth grade because most of my friends that I went to school with went to pre-K, and I never went to pre-K or pre-first. I just went to kindergarten and first grade. So, man, did I ace that second, fourth grade though.
I wish they would have done that for me because the year's difference as far as athletics go, well, actually
huge,
for everything.
Huge difference.
Huge. Like I played my high school football year. I was a young 17. So
yeah, that's
it's like had I been 18, like now we're talking.
Oh, it's completely different. Yeah. I would have graduated at 17, going to be 18. Then instead I was 18, graduated, going to be a 19-year-old freshman. So in college, so it helped me out a lot.
Yeah, that's huge. What's worse, catching or playing shortstop with number 52?
Oh man. God, 52 is a tough number.
You do look different with 17, man. I gotta tell you, when I look at old footage and I'm like, wow, who's 52? Oh, that's Farmer out there. He's 52 playing shortstop.
Oh.
Would you say you look like Ray Lewis out there?
Yeah. God, just a tank. But no, Garcia wears 52. A picture, and I see that number, and I just see my name on the back of it. Like, it just looks like me. I'm like, God, that was such a – I mean, he wears it well, but that was such a bad number for me. I was 65. I made my debut in L.A. wearing number 65.
Oh.
You want to talk about looking thick.
Yeah, ooh. But you look good with that – what was it, a walk-off hit, wasn't it?
Yeah, walk-off double. Sunday Night Baseball.
Nice. That's large.
That was really cool.
65.
Courtney was there for that. Yeah, Courtney was there for that. That was really cool.
How tough is it right now? Let's talk about something serious, Kyle. Because I got to talk about baseball before we wrap this up. I can't do everything non-baseball. Although it's more entertaining.
I know.
This abdominal thing, man. You're playing to the pain all the time. How hard is it?
It's pretty tough. It's hard. It's really hard. So on some plays, like when I run, when I turn it into gear, like another gear to try and stretch a single to a double, that hurts. When I dive head first, it hurts. Like 2 days ago, it was really, really sore. But it feels like a knife is kind of just stabbing you in that area. It stinks. But, I grew up. I don't know. I just grew up. My dad never really like felt sorry for me when I was hurt. My mom never felt sorry. Granny was tough. You know, they just said, get back out there and play through it. And so I grew up with a pretty big pain tolerance, playing football and stuff. So I've played through so many injuries in my career. Like my freshman year of college, I broke my hamate bone. I came back after 2 weeks after surgery and kind of my grip strength wasn't there, but I played through that. You never really know when baseball is going to go away for you, and little bumps and bruises really won't affect you. I mean, it might, but I mean, if you put your focus on something else, the pain kind of goes away a little bit. So, that's just how I grew up. I grew up just to be tough and just to keep grinding through stuff.
I know back in spring training or in the off season, you kept saying, you kept looking at like Twitter, see if the Reds were going to sign a shortstop. I think, listen, love you to death. Obviously, I just love your personality, but your story's incredible that you're the all time percentage leader in fielding at the University of Georgia, which is a good baseball school. And then the Dodgers convert you into a catcher and say, you can't play shortstop. And you come over here and you're third catcher, but can play all over the field. But keep telling him, I can play shortstop, man. I can play shortstop. But then you finally get the chance. It's like, wow, this guy's really good at shortstop. Yeah. And I just think the story is incredible. However long it lasts, I don't care if it ends tomorrow. It's an incredible story. Is it? I know it's been your dream, man. And I know there's been, you would love to have more success at the plate. Who wouldn't? But what's it been? Is it, you living the dream?
Yeah, the dream's nice right now. I kind of have to thank my wife for kind of pushing me to keep speaking up, because I'm the kind of person that goes under the radar, just kind of does my thing. But she was like, no, keep saying it. Keep telling them you want to play. Keep telling me you want to play. So I ended up just telling David and got an opportunity to do it. But probably the most satisfying thing this year has been playing in L.A. against the Dodgers, playing shortstop, and getting two big hits and winning that game at shortstop. And just kind of like, it's pretty full circle, like I said in that interview after the game. But that was probably the coolest thing, was playing short in Dodger Stadium against the team that drafted me, thinking that I couldn't play short, and going out there and doing my thing. So that was pretty cool. But yeah, it's been a long journey. It's been a long road. And I don't really look at Twitter anymore, because those people are kind of nuts. So I just kind of, they like to, you know, talk behind their keypads, and they think they know the game of baseball. So, but it is what it is.
I was going to ask you about the scrutiny, but you kind of answered it, that you've kind of shut Twitter out. But, you know, there's scrutiny. It doesn't matter who you are. I mean, Votto gets a lot of it, and he's been a great player. But there's always talk of the Reds need a shortstop. The Reds need a shortstop. Who are they going to get? Let's make a trade. It has to be tough to handle.
Yeah, it is. I mean, it sucks hearing people say that they want a shortstop, but I get it. I mean, they don't. I mean, I've never played shortstop before in the big league, so they want some big name star playing short. But as it turns out, I'm playing defensively better than most of the stars at shortstop, so which they don't really understand. I could be hitting a lot better, as anybody wishes they were. I mean, I get what people are saying. They want a Trevor Story, they want a Lindor, they want the big name out there, which is cool. But you know, it is what it is.
Now, obviously, the most important thing, because I've seen the way the teammates react to you, and if you were in front of a group of people yelling at you like that, there would be teammates that would come to your rescue. You are their shortstop. I mean, if you ask them, they don't need to add a shortstop. How does that make you feel when the teammates would react like that? Because I know they would.
Yeah, for sure. I think that's probably the best thing that you can ask for on a team, is your teammates have your back. I think the number one thing on a team is to be a good team player. You could be an average baseball player, but if you're a great teammate, that goes a lot further. And I know the guys on the team have my back, and because they know that I'll play hard behind whoever's pitching, and I'll give my best effort each day. So I think that's pretty cool that they would have my back. I know they want me out there, which is really cool.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, you make the plays that need to be made and beyond that. And you're doing it through some pain, so it's been fun to watch. You're my shortstop, Kyle.
I'm Granny's too.
I'm Granny's something. I don't know what it is. I think she likes to vent to me.
Yeah. You might want to talk to her about that. Where do we stand, Granny? What are me and you?
I should.
Yeah.
She'll put me in my place, which we all need.
That, or she might ask you to marry her. Who knows? She loves Barry Larkin too.
Really?
She loves some Barry. Oh yeah, loves Barry.
Well, you know, it's very mutual. He's been singing your praises. He loves him some Kyle Farmer now.
Oh, well, that's what she said, and I appreciate him. I mean, it's nice having a Hall of Famer have your back.
Well, he knows the importance of it's defense first out there at shortstop, and he's seen sure. You know, if it's you're not playing good defense out there, that really gets under his skin. So,
yeah, I mean, he's a Gold Glove Hall of Famer, so yeah. I mean he. He knows it best.
Yeah. Well, that's got to make you feel good. That's good stuff.
For sure.
All right. I'm going to turn you loose. Thanks again. I love having
that
you on
fun.
Because you take us inside the clubhouse and you give us the human side of things that we wouldn't otherwise know.
As people should know, get a little taste of it.
Yeah. Which you could probably have broadcasting in your future if you want that. I know you might dabble in coaching. Broadcasting.
I don't know what I want. I've gone back and forth, broadcasting or managing real estate, construction. Who knows? I don't know what I'm going to do.
Wow.
I want to keep playing for a little bit, but we'll see.
Hey, didn't Votto say he'd be your bench coach?
Yeah. I said, what if I get the job in Toronto? He goes, I'm there. He goes, if someone doesn't hustle, you tell me to go get them out of the game, I'll go look them right in the face. I don't care if it's the biggest dude out there. I'll look them right in the face and say, you're out. I was like, all right, Joe, I'm going to hold you to it. You'd be the richest bench coach in the league.
He would, yeah. No doubt about that. He,
pretty cool
you know,
though.
I wouldn't put it past him. He might do it.
No. No, he would definitely do it. If I called him up and I asked him, he said, yes, I'll do it for sure.
Votto the bench coach under Farmer. That would be great.
God, that'd be amazing.
Future manager of the Cincinnati Reds, Kyle Farmer. Who knows? Never know what can happen.
Let's see. 2041.
Oh, my gosh. I might be dead.
Yeah, baseball is still around.
Let's hope everything is still around the way we're going right now.
I remember I was on second base. Yelich was on second base. I was at short. It was like in between pitching changes or something. I was like, how you doing? He goes, oh, just grinding. I was like, me too. He was like, I got 7 more years of this. And I was like, yeah, I'll be drinking a beer watching you play, man. Have fun.
All right, Luke, we're going to turn you loose.
Thanks, Jim. It's been so much fun. I'm going to go and have me a cold beverage of water.
Take some dance lessons, Luke, for please.
Oh, God. These hips can move.
All right. Always good for a laugh. Good luck the rest of the way, man. I hope you guys get on a run here. That would be fun to watch. So.
Yeah, it would, Jim. I hope so. We'll see.
All right. That is the one and only Kyle Farmer.
Yes, sir.
The Renaissance man. Thanks for checking us out, everyone. It is the Jim Day Podcast, and we will see you on down the road.